algorithmical life on climate-induced yield variance and yield gaps of maize, and particularly in low-input agricultural systems. Well, now there is ample information that climate risk has been suggested as the main source of uncertainty in crop production. It's a challenge for particularly for rainfed crop production. And with this increasing risk in climate variability, climate change, rainfed agriculture is being to be further constrained. There is also projection that rainfed agriculture will be strongly challenged, that more than what we have seen today. And this yield variability and yield gap analysis is one requirement for identifying production constraints, just to get an idea what are the main driving factors that lead to variability and also to existing gaps. And also, whereas quantified information on such analysis, particularly on current variability and existing gaps, is scarce in Africa. Of course, there is tremendous ample information on projected impacts and risks, but in terms of analyzing yield gaps, the current yield gaps and current variability, there is scarce information, particularly in this in the African region. So this study focused on this the sub-Saharan region. So when we need to analyze the existing yield gaps, particularly using the crop simulation models, we need to define different levels of production. When crops have genetic potentials, which can be only defined by climatic factors, there is no limitation in water or nutrients or any biotic factors, so that's the potential yield. Whereas in most cases there is water limitation, particularly in such sub-Saharan Africa or in low production systems and in rainfed farming systems. So in that case we can achieve only water limited yield. And also in most cases also there is also a combined effect of water and nutrients, so that we can achieve water and nutrient limited yield. But in most of the African farmers, or in addition to these factors, there are also competition from winds and diseases, so the actual yield is at a lower level, that is reduced by, in addition to this water, climatic factors and nutrients, in addition, there is also pressure from winds and pests. So these are major concerns, particularly when we need to analyze the existing yield gaps and also the variabilities. So the objective of the study was just to assess the impact of current climate variability and its correlation with the yield variability, how much of the yield variability that exists today can be explained by climate variability, and also to analyze existing gaps, how large is the existing gap, between the ideal yields that we can achieve using simulation models, for instance, and what farmers are really achieving. So these were core ideas to that motivated us to do this research. And this research was conducted in the Central Rift Valley of Ethiopia, which originates from the northern part and dissects into two highlands. And this is a typical representative for semi-arid environments, and it's mainly cereal-based farming system, but livestock production is also a very important component. So it is a mixed farming system, and maize is a major crop in this part of the area. So this is a representative for semi-arid environments in for large parts of the semi-arid or sub-Saharan Africa. I mean. So we did a simulation to define our reference yields, the ideal yield, using two crop models, the DSAT and the FOSS model. And also we define a water limited yield potential as a reference to define the variability and also to estimate the existing yield gaps. We use the water limited yield potential because the area is rain fed, so we do not target for the potential or the genetic potential yield. And also we define best farmers yields. These best farmers yields are yields that can be achieved by model farmers or better farmers who are able to use recommended technologies. Particularly in this study area, there is a recommended fertilizer rate, there is a recommended improved seed, but very few farmers can achieve or can use these recommended packages. So this, the best farmers are those who are able to use these available technologies. And this average farmer's yields are just yields with a conventional farming system. In most cases, no external input or very low external inputs. So we calculated or we estimated this the yield gap as a difference between the water limited yield, that's the crop model simulation output, and this the different farmers' yield levels. So this is a time series yield variability, both for the actual, that's for farmers' yield, and also for the model simulated yield. So we found that there is high variability both in the actual and in the simulated water limited yield. So there's about a coefficient of variation of about 36%, and in some years there is really low yield even for the model simulation. So that's the effect of this growing season rainfall. So we found that rainfall is a main driving factor for yield variability. We did a correlation to identify which climatic parameter or variable is main driving factor for this existing variability. So the existing rainfall or the rainfall variability explains much of the variability in yield. This is for just for different sites, two sizes and the two models. Of course, there's some slight difference in the models, but more or less, much of the variability was explained by the growing season rainfall. So analysis for the past 30 years shows that there is large variability in amount and distribution of rainfall, which is a driving factor for the current yield variability. And there is also a decrease in the number of rain days, whereas an increase in rainfall intensity, the amount of rainfall per event, rain event is increasing. And there is high variability in length of growing season. There is as short as 65 days and as long as more than 200 days. So there is very large variability in the length of the growing season. And there is a frequent dry spell during the growing season. Of course, this is also accompanied by an increasing, significantly increasing trend in the temperature. So this here shows us the gaps in this different levels for the three sites that we compute. So the difference between the water limited, that is the simulated based on these two models, and the actual farmers. Actual farmers can achieve about 2 tons per hectare on average, whereas the simulation model indicates nearly 7 to 8 tons per hectare. So there is a large gap, about 5 to 6 tons per hectare, which is huge for that low or subsistence farmers. In relative terms, it's about 70% yield gap exists between the actual that farmers are achieving and the idea or the water limited yield that we can achieve by improving our management. And also, there is about 1 to 3 tons difference even between most of the farmers who follow the conventional farming system and the best farmers or the moderate farmers. This is also tremendous much for that area. We also tried to compare the existing yield gaps in different farming systems. So this study, our study in case, there's about 70% yield gap between the actual and the ideal or the water limited yield. And another study by Van Etterson in case, there's about 68% yield gap in Kenya, which is similar to our study, but there is very low yield gap in irrigated maize in Nebraska. So this indicates that the yield gap is tremendous or huge in low input agricultural systems. Just to give how large is the yield gap in different this environment. It's not only, of course, the climatic parameters that drive the yield gaps, the existing yield gaps, and the yield variability. There is also low agricultural input. For instance, when you consider the agriculture, the nitrogen application rate in Ethiopia, on average, it's about 20 kg of nitrogen per hectare, which is very, very low compared to Asia, about 100 kg per hectare, and of course, greater, more than 200 kg in Western Europe and North America. So this is just to give highlight how low is the agricultural input used in this study area or that part of the region. Africa. So there is also poor agricultural extension and weak agrometeorological services and high cost of inputs and insufficient credit services. All this also leads to the existing yield gaps. So as a conclusion, we see that there is high variability, inter-annual variability, both in the simulated water limited yield and the actual yields. And much of this variability is explained by the variability in the growing season rainfall. In some of the study areas, even about 60%, which is too much, of course, is explained by the growing season rainfall, in addition to those factors that I mentioned. And also, there exists a large gap between the actual farmers that they are achieving and the water limited yields that we can achieve if we can manage most of the factors that limit the production system. So this indicates that there is a need, critical need, to for climate-proof strategies, including better agronomic management that can narrow down the existing yield gaps and also reduce the current climate variability. Thank you for your attention.
Thanks, Billy. Any questions for Billy? Does it work or not? You can hear me.
Doesn't work. Okay.
One simple thing is that farmers can achieve about 2 tons per hectare for maize in the sub-Saharan Africa in general agriculture. But scientifically, this is not the limit for maize production in that area. We can increase the yield production for maize. So what I'm talking about as a gap is what we can achieve by improving our agronomic management practices and what farmers are really achieving. Why is it only 2 tons per hectare in sub-Saharan Africa?
Why is it that they are only 2 tons?
Well, this is a crop stimulation model approach which can provide us an indication for the biophysical limits. Of course, it also needs socio-economic interaction, socio-economic components to be included here. Why, for instance, when food credit services there? Why high cost of inputs? And also, for instance, this one of the driving factors that I mentioned, rainfall variability. It's not only just by water stress. It also creates risk averse behavior for farmers. Farmers do not use agricultural inputs as regularly if they think that there will be low amount of rainfall in the future. So that there is also risk averse. They are interrelated. There is interaction. So that for the model based exercise, we can see just the biophysical limits. That's why I just in one of the slides I tried to show there are also other driving factors. Of course, this is part of my PhD thesis. In another chapter, we try to see also farmers' perception and what are their limits. How they explain these problems and limits in their production system. I have also a published chapter for that. But for this one, we cannot include all these social economic factors in this biophysical model based stimulation exercise. That's why I have some part of the problem.
Okay. Any more questions for
Ned? So, your model is basically saying that this is yield potential. Are you able to verify that?
Well, to define this, the yield potential, there are different approaches. For instance, one is in high input agricultural systems, we can define the yield potential by just considering the height, the maximum is that can be achieved on station or experimental fields. But that's not realistic in this low-level control system. Even the station, the experiment yield is low, much low. I argue that even at experimental stations, we are not using the maximum recommended agronomic management practices. So, in the water simulation, first for the water limited yield, we assume that there is no any limitation except water supply. So that is a scenario for the maximum that we can achieve if we can improve our agronomic management systems. But for the bed farmers, which is near to the experimental, but still lower than the station yield. So we consider this as a scenario to address or to see how large is the farmers actually.
Okay. Thanks, Pillay.